You're listening to the God, Guns, Liberty podcast with JC Holmes.
Welcome, everyone, to the God, Guns, Liberty podcast. This is J.C. Hall. Hope you are all doing well today on this Friday. Just wanted to jump in and give you an update on some things that happened yesterday. Well, last night, in case you missed it, you may not have known. I don't know how many people tuned in, but Gavin Newsom and Governor Ron DeSantis had a governor's debate, I guess. Even though Ron is a presidential candidate, he's also the governor of Florida still, ostensibly. At least that's what I hear. That's what we voted for. So allegedly, he's still the governor of Florida. And Gavin Newsom is the governor of California. Ron's running for president. Gavin Newsom, I don't know, what was that, an audition? Some say if they knew or they would allow Gavin Newsom to run in 24, they wouldn't have allowed him to do that, or would they? I don't know what's going on. Are they getting ready to take Biden out of the way, or is this just testing the waters to see how Gavin Newsom fares on the scene? Hard to say. But they had a debate nonetheless. And I think you pretty much have to watch it for yourself to decide what you think about it. I personally don't feel these debates do much of anything. Certainly this one. Because every camp, every tribe, they have their opinion. They're not going to be swayed. You know, you look at Twitter or social media, like who won? How'd they do? Well, if you look at, you know, Trump, MAGA people, DeSantis sucked. And if you look at DeSantis people, DeSantis won and destroyed Newsom. If you look at the progressives, then Newsom won, destroyed DeSantis. MAGA saying Newsom won, destroyed DeSantis. I'm not familiar with very many objective, independent thinking voters. Pretty much everybody's locked in their tribe, and their opinion is their opinion. And if it's not their guy, if it's someone else, then they're going to find a reason why that guy sucks, and why their guy's the best, no matter what side you're on. So it is what it is. But it provides some interesting sound bites. It highlights issues, and you know, maybe gives people talking points and crystallizes, ways to express their thoughts on these issues. So, some entertaining moments in the little debate. I didn't really watch it. I just watched a bunch of clips. So, I got a few clips just to highlight a couple things that happened in the show. So, Christian, why don't you go ahead and give us our first clip. I think this is DeSantis talking about a guy he met.
I was talking to a fella who had made the move from California to Florida, and he was telling me that Florida is much better governed, safer, better budget, lower taxes, all this stuff. And he's really happy with the quality of life. And then he paused and he said, "And oh, by the way, I'm Gavin Newsom's father-in-law."
Oh, ouch. So DeSantis had a couple zinger moments throughout the night. And it's very interesting because Governor DeSantis is, you know, known to be not a good debater. He's great at press conferences, but he hasn't historically been a very good debater. But his approach seems to be, you know, if he's prepared on the topic and he's prepared some sort of one-liners or statements, and he launches that at the right moment. And that's kind of how he approaches it. But historically, if then they challenge him on something he's not prepared for, whatever, he gets sort of thrown off kilter from time to time. But he's pretty consistent with his sort of prepared stuff. So it's a lot of what you saw in at least the clips that I saw, and every time I've seen him, kind of in a debate format. So you have to know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and prepare accordingly. So that, I think that's what we've seen how he approaches it. So good for him, I guess, risking this, knowing. Of course, his staff isn't very self-aware, so it's not like they tell him, "Hey, you're not good at debates," you know, so whatever. But not being historically good at debates, you know, good for him of braving the waters to get out there and try to put the smackdown on Governor Newsom from California. So DeSantis had some of those moments. Next one, I think maybe he's talking about San Francisco. Not really sure. Let's see what this next clip you got for us, Christian.
This is a map of San Francisco. There's a lot of plots on that. You may be asking, what is that plotting? Well, this is an app where they plot the human feces that are found on the streets of San Francisco. And you see how almost the whole thing is covered, because that is what has happened in one of the previous greatest cities this country's ever had. Human feces is now a fact of life, except when a communist dictator comes to town. Then they cleaned up the streets. They lined the streets with Chinese flags. They didn't put American flags there. They cleaned everything up. So they're willing to do it for a communist dictator, but they're not willing to do it for their own people.
Man. Yep. Yes, sir. To the point on that one. I'm sure many have seen the poop issue in San Francisco. San Francisco, one of the most beautiful cities, in America, traditionally, was really at the top of my list, one of my favorite cities in America. Most beautiful cities, one of the most beautiful cities in America, if not the most beautiful city that I had visited. Way back in the day, when I was first studying Russian in Monterey at the Defense Language Institute, and then later teaching Russian at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, we made many visits to San Francisco, and I really fell in love with San Francisco, fell in love with California in general. And then it's gotten progressively worse over the years. San Francisco, really, really one of the most devastated cities in California at this point. And now, apparently, poop on the sidewalks in front of businesses is just the norm. So DeSantis had his little map. You can find these apps. In fact, I think the city came up with an app, or somebody came up with an app. I believe it was a governmental endeavor where they created an app, right? Don't clean up the poop, but create an app so people can, I don't know, drop a pin where the poop is at, and you can avoid it. Or maybe they're trying to send a signal for the county or city to come get it. I don't know. Maybe if you were to develop some sort of fertilizer, composting fertilizer business, be a great app for you to have. That kind of, take an entrepreneurial approach to the human feces problem in San Francisco. If you had that app that tells you where all the poop is, then you can go around and pick it up. I imagine that's a lot of poop at this time. I mean, if somebody started that business at the beginning of people pooping on the streets in San Francisco, I mean, like, you'd probably be a millionaire by now. You'd be hiring people to go pick up the poop for you and bring it to your composting business and selling San Francisco fertilizer all over the world. So anyway, there's an idea. If anybody is out there in San Francisco looking for a business idea, maybe you can get the poop app and put that into practice, it's a crappy job, but somebody's got to do it. So there you saw DeSantis with his poop map. And, interesting. I mean, you just had Xi Jinping, communist dictator of China. Is he a dictator, right? Not a place I'd want to live, China. And, anyway, the communist leader of the communist world comes to town. They never clean up the poop any other time. Just mark it on the app, I guess. But when Xi Jinping was coming to town, roll out the red carpet for the Chinese dictator and go clean up the poop, and then put communist flags along, you know, people holding communist, I mean, Chinese flags along the streets as Xi Jinping and his entourage rolled through San Francisco. So they, as DeSantis, I think rightly said, they don't clean it up and make things nice for the people who live in San Francisco. But they want everything tidy when the communist dictator comes to town. Kind of reminds me of, you know, the communist Soviet Union when they used to have, what did they call those villages? The Potemkin village, you know, that was just these fake villages that they bring these idiotic Western visitors in, communist sympathizers, you know, visit, oh, look at this great place and look at all the food on the shelves. The stores are full. Everything's great. But it was fake village, fake food on the shelves, you know, plastic food. It wasn't even real. You know, and I think they were actually used for some sort of nuclear testing, and it was like a staging area. But then the dupes got pictures of these places, and the Western journalists and sympathizers just get pictures of this place, and, oh, look how great the Soviet Union is, which of course, the rage in the 30s. You know, everybody loved Stalin, and, you know, Soviet Union was great. Communism is great. It's going to save the world. It's a new utopia, and everybody worshiped Stalin and Soviet Union up until people began to realize what was really going on. So, yeah, kind of reminds me of that. You clean up and put on this fake front for the visiting communists. So this is what communists do. They clean up the city just for effect, just for optics. That's what happens. So this is what happens in San Francisco, sadly, one of the more beautiful cities in America, destroyed. Let's be frank, destroyed by the voters. Okay. Let's be cautious about putting everything on Gavin Newsom, because Gavin Newsom didn't seize power in California. He was put there by a large number of voters. You say, oh, where is voter fraud? Yeah, maybe, but I think a majority of the voters in California elected this guy, and then apparently reelected the guy. So really unbelievable. It's hard to think about that outside of voter fraud. But there are people that brainwashed. All right, next little clip from the debate. What we got, Christian?
They're doing. But let me just say something about parents' rights, because he says California respects parents' rights. This is rich. He's been telling a lot of whoppers tonight. This may be the biggest. In California, if you're a parent in Iowa or New Hampshire or South Carolina, your minor child can go to California without your knowledge or without your consent and get hormone therapy, puberty blockers, and a sex change operation, all without you knowing or consenting. How in the heck is that?
Well, you know what?
Honoring parents' rights when you're bringing people from out of state to go around their parents' backs and getting life-altering surgeries. That is radical. That
you know,
is extreme.
Ron, these kids,
that is an assault on
live.
Parents' rights.
You know what, Ron?
It's not
this
for
is
you to decide. Easy. It's
you
for the
what?
Parents to
it's
decide.
So, another pointed statements, some statements there. Apparently, Governor Newsom said California respects parents' rights. But as you pointed out, then you got these laws that the state legislature keeps passing and the governor signs, and a lot of people support out there on the left of not just kids, even in California, minors in California, but minor children. You know, across state lines, come in without their parents' knowledge or consent. And, you know, they basically made it illegal for people to, any doctors or anyone to inform the parents, and, you know, more or less required doctors to perform these life-altering surgeries without the parents' consent on a minor child. So I would have to agree with Governor DeSantis that certainly doesn't sound like respect for parental authority. And so Newsom says, well, they just want to live. DeSantis says, that's not your decision to make. That's the parents' decision. So legally, you know, we have this idea of minor, you know, under 18 are minors, and you're not legally sovereign. you know, until a certain age limit, right? And at that point, the parent is the custodian of this child, is the decision maker for a child. So you're certainly taking, you're certainly assaulting parental authority. And not only that, you know, this dovetails into, in my view, the assault on children more broadly by these leftist radicals, because you know, if, oh, well, they can cross the lines and they can do this, and we throw out, one, parental authority, number two, the age of consent, okay? When you're legally not a child, when you're legally an adult, so then you throw into, you know, you throw this confusion that's undermining the definition, the very definition of what is a child. And now they're essentially moving a child into the adult realm, saying, well, they can make their own decisions. So equating them with adult, saying that, you know, they have the power of consent, which then dovetails right into the rampant pedophilia. And I would say headquartered primarily in Hollywood, California. So it ties right into that. So it seems to me there are definitely some underlying evil, some underlying nefarious motivations behind these things. You know, and this spilled over into the discussion about, you know, so-called book banning in Florida, which no such thing happened in Florida. There's no book bans that happen in Florida. Every book that you could get last year and the year before that and the year before that, you can still purchase in Florida. What happened was the Florida legislature passed laws regarding appropriateness in the classrooms and in the libraries where school-aged children have access to the material. So these laws were about appropriateness. So you heard the left classify them as anti-gay, you know, don't say gay, right? The don't say gay law, right, is where, again, using the tribalism and identity politics to stir up some group to oppose this by saying this has something to do with being gay and freedom of speech and not saying gay. No, it had to do with appropriateness and basically protecting children, protecting this definition of children, the boundaries of the innocence of children, minor children. What is a child? What is an adult? There's a line. There is a difference. A child is not a consenting adult. That's really the assault. So that's why they use phrases like book ban books, because they don't want to make the conversation about what it really is about. Consenting children, right? Children that can consent to adult activities and adult behaviors. That's the conversation, not book bans, you know, and then they throw out these big names like Toni Morrison. Toni Morrison is a Pulitzer Prize winning writer, and she's black and a female. So you have these three things that Toni Morrison carries these labels. So then it makes her, you know, sacrosanct. You can't criticize Toni Morrison. That's why they throw out the name Toni Morrison. So then Toni Morrison becomes a vehicle for the assault on the innocence of children with one of her books that describes, you know, a scene of child molestation where the characters is molesting a child and while feeding them ice cream. And so you have people at school boards arguing in favor of these books. What kind of rational human being that is not demon possessed or have their mind somehow demon influenced, who in their right mind, one, argues that an adult needs to read books about child molestation, much less grade school children, right? So no one on that side could win that conversation. So then you have to say book bans, and they banned the books of the black Pulitzer Prize winning author Toni Morrison. No. We decided that a book that Toni Morrison wrote with a scene about child molestation shouldn't be read by third graders. One of her other books, I think, had something about the mother killing the daughter because of something to do with slavery. Oh, they don't want people to learn about slavery, and they don't. No, we don't want third graders. We don't think it's appropriate for third graders to be reading a story of daughter killing. But they don't want to talk about the content. They don't want to talk about the real issue of destroying the innocence of children and moving, or in fact erasing the idea of consent, parental authority, and child-adult distinctions and boundaries. That's the issue. And that's what happens. And so that's what's going on in California. No surprise. Hollywood is located there. Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Hollywood. I shared an Orson Welles interview from way back. And he's talking about Hollywood and looking into the history. And you realize how many lives Hollywood has destroyed. And it's been all about that, he says, from its earliest days, essentially from its beginnings of just a long, long history of lives destroyed, ruined. I saw where somebody posted the Good Ship Lollipop video from Shirley Temple, and everybody got mad. Oh, this is innocence. I watched this in my childhood, and don't attack that, and da-da-da-da. But if you go read the actual history of what was done to Shirley Temple and how she was put through the ringer and abused and just having her life destroyed, stop living in a fantasy land. Her movies are so wholesome, and she was so innocent. It's a whole scene. Oh, you're just seeing this. You know, you see pedophilia everywhere. Okay, go watch the scene. These men passing her around with their hands in all these places. Her skirt's already up. You know, she's wearing a Mima Yubka. For you Russians out there, know what I'm talking about. Her skirt's already up there, and you see, you know, she's pulling her skirt down. Her skirt keeps going up. Shirley freaking Temple. Like, I know she was like six or something. So the place has been a cesspool from the beginning. This is where, that's the state, and this is the governor. And he loves that stuff. I saw some idiot on Twitter call this guy a moderate, that Gavin Newsom's a moderate. Are you freaking kidding me? What kind of Alice in Wonderland alternate reality are you living in? So anyway, moving on, this is an assault on children. Plain and simple, but they won't talk about that in clear terms. Book bans, yeah, whatever. Nazism, book bans, book burnings. That's a footloose people. That's a footloose parents. You're all a bunch of religious zealots. Because we believe children are not adults. Because we don't want children exploited and molested and you know who might not be thinking straight to make these rash decisions about medical operations. How about let's wait till they're 18? They can make that decision when they're 18. Oh, they're suffering. Well, help them, love them, do what it takes. But make sure they're thinking straight before you go down that road. Because we can show you, as many people say, oh, these are suffering. We can show you a whole bunch of people who went through that who now say, this is the worst decision I ever made in my life as a child, as a teenager. Now they are adults. Can't go back. So, you know it's not about that. This is an attack on children, okay? Say what you want to say. This is a bunch of sicko, pedophile, wicked people. Plain and simple. That's it. End of story. Next.
There are profound differences tonight, and I look forward to engage them. But there's one thing, in closing, that we have in common is neither of us will be the nominee for our party in 2024.
Ouch. That hurt. That was a zinger from Mr. Newsom. And things keep heading the way they're heading. I don't think he's wrong. Actually, the sad truth is, unfortunately for Mr. DeSantis, and he's been a great governor while he was governor. Okay? When he was governor of Florida, he was a great governor for the most part. And we supported him. But in reality, probably Gavin Newsom has a better chance of being the 2024 presidential nominee than Ron DeSantis. So going to have to agree with California dictator on that one. Next.
All right, welcome back to debates that nobody really gives a shit about.
Come back to me. All right. This is hilarious. This cracked me up. I was falling on the floor watching this. So this is actually, this little video is from Donald Trump's social media account on Truth Social. This right here is, I have an account on Truth Social. I don't really normally engage too much on it, but this, just to be able to follow Donald Trump and see some of this stuff, this almost, I won't say almost, this makes me want to plug into Truth Social more. Just to see this kind of stuff. Hilarious, because Donald Trump's not on Twitter, but he's on Truth Social. So, crack me up. Now, very beginning, there is a piece of profanity. There is a profane word. So, any of you religious folks out there that might get triggered, this is a trigger warning. If you have kids, hide your kids. He says the S word. But here we go. This is hilarious. This was posted by Donald Trump on Donald Trump's social media feed from Truth Social. This was, I guess, his version or his take on the debates last night between the two governors. Roll it.
All right, welcome back to Debates That Nobody Really Gives a Shit About. I'm your host, Sean Hannity, and tonight we have the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, and Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis. Let's begin. First question, have you ever betrayed the greatest president to ever live, President Donald J. Trump?
No.
What kind of question is that? What the hell?
Very simple question, but let's try the next one. Are you a short, insecure little man that likes to wear lifts inside your cowboy boots? Yes or no answer, please.
Nope.
You know what? My wife bought me those lifts, and I happen to like them. Okay.
He's even using a stepping stool. I can see it from over here.
Governor, we clearly said no step stools. You either get off of it or you're leaving this stage right now.
You see there at the end, Governor DeSantis shrink as if he's stepping off of his stool and slinks off the stage. Pretty funny. Hilarious. It said the debate of Loserville was the caption on Donald Trump's post like that. So pretty funny. Somebody, Donald Trump's staff or team, made this video hilarious. Poor Governor DeSantis being the brunt of Donald Trump's ire. So some of that's just funny watching them go back and forth. Yeah, some of it may strike you as petty. Some of it's completely false. When the part that bothers me is when, you know, they start to make these false claims or false attacks. This is obviously just, you know, mocking. But you know, I think of Ron DeSantis' team, you know, saying that Governor DeSantis pardoned Rodney Howard Brown, which is completely false, but. And then even when they were challenged on it, they still say it, still repeat it, trying to ride the coattails of the pastor who took a stand amongst a handful of pastors around the country and around the world, in fact. But yeah, so that's that kind of stuff bothers me. You know, you could mock the other guy, make fun of the other guy, knock yourself out, but start just flat out telling lies to throw out red meat and, you know, get brownie points. At the expense of, you know, somebody who had the courage to stand up against the tyranny that was happening. That's a little bit offensive to me, and don't care for that too much. So, nevertheless, there you go. As I said, you know, you see all the tweets for or against. It's pretty much everybody's in their tribe. If you're a MAGA guy, you thought DeSantis was terrible. If you're a DeSantis supporter, you thought, you know, he cleaned Newsom's clock. If you're progressive, then you think Newsom is the next Messiah. So, you know, I don't think that's going to help in that regard, but it was entertaining some moments, apparently. Hey, don't forget, go to chrisanhall.com and check out all the good stuff. Check out the shop. And by the way, thanks to, I think, Tammy in Washington, Missouri, who got one of the Sheriff DVDs, and then Lori Robbins, I think. And I didn't mean to say your last name, Lori, but thanks for your support in getting the Sheriff DVD. And then William and Karen ordered Sovereign Duty books, and then Jacob got a bunch of coffee. So appreciate you guys. Appreciate you supporting the work that Dr. Hall does. And so make sure you go to check us out, chrisannhall.com. And then I'll be posting another show Saturday, tomorrow at 11 a.m. So tune in and join us. Gonna have a good time. I'm JC, and I'm out.
You're listening to the God, Guns, Liberty podcast with JC Holmes.